This is work done with the students. Said is now a professor at Riyadh University. And it's interesting that my talk follows Lynn's talk because the topics are very similar, but and the words very similar. Lynn focused on the weight optimization, or the optimization of the weights, and we borrow from his papers and his words the optimal weights, and we try to optimize for the topology. And I'll explain what the topology is. So this is so I'll go over the topology design problem. So what do we mean when we say we will design the topology, or our goal is to design the topology of the sensor network? The problem that we are concerned with is a distributed inference problem, but under the right nice simplistic assumptions, it's essentially the distributed consensus. So we simply will have one or two slides just to cast this, and then from then on is simply a distributed consensus. And then we consider classes of problems for which we can say something about the topology. Okay, it's not the topology is not just a problem that you say, okay, G just apply some optimization algorithm and that's it. At least the way we looked at the problem was we will consider classes of problems, and as we move down this way, we get more realistic problems, but of course the solutions get less analytical or less, you can't just say as many nice things as you can say in these problems here. So that will be the flow. So let me just say what do we really mean by topology, and what we mean is that we have a bunch of sensors, and we think of, in the terms of the discussion yesterday, we think of flat networks, okay, so lots of dumb sensors, and we think of many sensors, so that's, I think, what the problem, when the problem is interesting. And what we want to know is, these sensors make their measurements, they make their local processing, their local decisions, and then who should they really transmit their decisions to learn about some property of the environment? And the property could be, is this hot in this room, or is it cool, or whatever? Okay, and so who should to whom should a particular sensor talk to? And this is an example of a topology, and another example would be that one. Okay, should they talk like this, or should they talk like this? And many other variations, of course. So that's the problem that that we really want. We have observations made by the sensors. We assume that they process that, and because we are looking for a very simple problem of a binary detection, say, they essentially process locally the data that they have available, construct some likelihood function, and then everything from then on is in terms of those local likelihoods. And the question is, once you did your local processing, to whom do you talk to? And that's the problem of the topology design. And the topology is, of course, captured by a graph, and the graph has a set of vertices that model the sensors, and has the edges that model the communication channels. And we are going to make some assumptions about the graph, and the graph is undirected, which means that if A talks to B, B also talks to A, and if A weights the information from B with a certain weight, then B also weights with the same weight information received from A. And it's a simple graph, so no self-loops, and it's connected. And so here are examples of topologies, and these are topologies that people very often consider, and why not just consider these? So this, for example, the star topology or the parallel architecture where everybody talks to someone, of course, that's a simple one, has a fusion center, N-1 communication channels, N-1 edges here. The communication just requires two communication steps. Everybody transmits to the fusion center back. So it has a low cost, but of course it's a centralized, so you need to have centralized sensors, the centralized fusers, and it's a fragile network in the sense that if this dies, then the whole network is lost. You could go to the other extreme where everybody talks to everybody else. That's a lot of communication, lots of communication channels, and it's essentially an order n square, so it's large, and that's no good either. Essentially here, every center is a centralized fusion. or you could go through this one, which of course introduces a lot of delay, and it's very fragile, and so forth. So these are traditional. So when people look at architectures, these are examples that people look at. What we would like, obviously, is to structure our problem and say, okay, we don't want a fragile network, so we want robustness, so that if links fail and so forth, you can still go on with your communication. And you'd like a distributed computation, so you don't want every sensor to be a centralized fuser in a sense. So you want local communication. And the problem, as I said, for which we illustrate the results is this distributed inference, very simple problem. So just to place the framework of the problem, very simple binary detection problem. And from here you construct the likelihood ratio. This is if you had a centralized fuser, so you'd collect all the data, so the Y is collecting all the sensors, and the LY is essentially a sum of the local likelihoods. And that's why I say this problem fits perfectly under the right assumptions, fits perfectly the average, distributed average consensus. Lin already explained everything, so in terms of coming, showing that you can do that centralized computation here, this centralized computation here that can be done, this computation here can be done by essentially a average consensus. So with this weight, and this weight captures, this matrix W captures the local neighborhood structure, reflects perfectly the structure of the network. Okay, and this slide is simply to show that if you do the performance analysis of that simple detection problem, and you do the performance analysis assuming a centralized version where you have Y available, or if you do through the average consensus and you look at the probability of errors, then you will see that this one, the probability of errors here, if you iterate a lot the communication, if you let this index I go to infinity, then this probability of error would converge to this one. So when we talk about this topology design, we cannot say that the goal is for this one to have as good performance as this one, because if you let I go to infinity, then you are guaranteed that this one will converge to that one. So no matter what the topology here is, as long as it's connected and a few other simple assumptions, then any topology will give, in essence, the same error performance as the centralized one. So the goal of the problem is not to guarantee that this has as good performance in terms of probability of error as this one. The goal is to somehow make this convergence to be as fast as possible. Because, of course, if the convergence is fast, the number of iterations required to get within epsilon of this performance will be much smaller, and so there will be all the implications in terms of power consumption and so forth. So the problem is captured in terms of spectral graph theory, and just a very quick reminder, Rich yesterday referred to all these things, so just to remind you, with the graph you associate an adjacency matrix, so you put zeros and ones. So if you have a sensor here and a sensor there, and they have an edge in common, then you put a one there, and so forth. You associate it with another matrix of the degrees, which is the number of ones in each row you put on the diagonal. That means the degree, which means the number of edges that go from a sensor to the number of communication channels from the sensor to all the other sensors. So in this case, you'd have, say, for this sensor, it has degree one, and this sensor has degree two, and so forth. And you associate also the so-called Laplacian graph, Laplacian, which is this matrix minus that matrix, okay? And it has properties, in particular, this is positive semi-definite. The first eigenvalue is zero, and then if you order them like that, this would be lambda two, and this is lambda two is strictly greater than zero if the graph is connected, and that's an important property because that's really the key in many of the things we do and many of the people doing the work in this area. And we will see also that the graphs we look at are regular graphs, meaning that the number of edges going from any sensor to the other sensors is always the same. And you might say, okay, so you are already putting a very tough constraint, but in fact, the reason we put that is because for irregular graphs, the best topologies come out to be regular in a sense, as I'll explain later. So the problem is, the problem really is now to design the W, and the structure of the graph, the weights and the structure of the graph. Now notice that the structure of the graph means the non-zero, the structure of the graph defines the non-zero entries of W. So if you change the graph, the non-zero entries or the zero entries of W also change, okay? So when I say I'm trying to design the optimal topology, what I mean is I'm trying to design where the zeros of this, the entries, of the zero entries in this W matrix are, okay? And we use results of Lynn and Steve Boyd you saw Lynn going through different choices of weights and so forth. We pick an optimal choice for the equal, when the weights are all equal. So when the information is weighted by all the sensors the same way, and for that there is an optimal value for this alpha, which is 2 over lambda 2 plus lambda n. Lambda n being the largest eigenvalue of L, lambda 2 being the smallest non-zero eigenvalue of the Laplacian, okay? And as you see, so in terms of optimizing, once I pick this, the only thing that is left to optimize is what I call the structure of the graph, the zero entry, where are the zero entries of the W, okay? Of course, as the graph changes, these lambdas also change, so the alpha itself also changes, but it's given by this expression, so we don't need to do an optimization on the weights. It's given immediately by that. Okay, so what we, as I mentioned, we consider four classes of problems, and the first class is we assume that once we pick the topology, once we look for the optimal topology, that the iterative algorithm, the consensus, always has that same topology. Okay, and we call that the non-random topology. There still is an optimization done a priori, but once you picked it, the optimal, the consensus algorithm always uses that structure, that graph. And we consider two variations there. In one case, you have noiseless communication. In the other, you have noisy communication, and we model that noisy communication here by this noise here. The third class is one where links fail. So we want to design, in a sense, the topology knowing that the links are going to fail. And so what would be the best quote-unquote topology knowing that the links are going to fail according to some probability distribution? And finally, you have topologies for which the links fail, but you also have a communication cost. You penalize the communication cost. So here we don't penalize the communication cost. So as long as I can communicate that the cost is the same no matter how far or how close, that's of course unrealistic. Here you enter with these communication costs. So these are the four classes of problems. And as I mentioned before, these different classes allow us to achieve different results. Okay. I would say that for the first class of problems, which is the more unrealistic one, the one where you say, okay, there is no noise, the links never fail, and the structure remains forever while I iterate with the consensus. And for that case, the X is not random condition on the initial condition, on the X zeros, and things go nicely. And essentially, you convert the problem of looking for the optimal L, for the optimal Laplacian, which reflects through the D minus A, through the A matrix, reflects the structure of the graph, converts into optimizing this parameter gamma, okay, maximizing the ratio of lambda 2, which is the algebraic connectivity of the graph, over the largest eigenvalue. So you are looking for L's that maximize this ratio. Now, what's interesting about this problem is that if you try different classes of graphs, you immediately discover that the uniform graphs, the ones that we, the uniform structures, like for example, if you think of a uniform grid, like the pixels in a nearest neighbor type of communication, like in an image, the pixels, you immediately find out that that's very lousy, okay, in terms of optimizing the convergence rate of the consensus algorithm. And so you can use random constructions and you do much better. Now, the interesting thing is that actually there is a quote-unquote optimal analytical solution. What by analytical I mean is that there is a known class of graphs for which you can show that this is optimized in a certain sense, okay? And I don't have the details, I don't have the time here to go into the details to explain in what sense this class of graphs, okay, for which there is constructions available, okay, and I'll tell you that there are not many constructions available, okay? This was developed by some people at the time they were at the Institute of Advanced Studies in Princeton in the 80s, and at the same time developed also by a Russian exactly the same year. They came up with these constructions, okay? Constructions of the Ramanujan graphs, and of course everybody knows Ramanujan. The Ramanujan dreamed or had good or bad dreams about the graphs, but they stayed, but nobody actually constructed them for quite a while, okay? And in 1988 or 89, so these two groups, one in Russia and the one in the States, they came up with what's called algebraic constructions of those graphs. But what's interesting is that you look at the properties of these graphs and like magic, they optimize, you can argue that in a certain sense, they optimize this. So they are, for this class of graphs, the optimal structure. Okay, and as things happen, Olfatti Saber, practically at the same time as we did, discovered similarly that these graphs also solve the problem. His problem, which is not exactly this, he only looks for his problem, he only looks for the optimization of the primal two. So that's interesting, and that's what I call analytical solutions. You know the structure of the graphs. And this result here is simply telling you that regular graphs are better than irregular graphs in terms of convergence, okay? I don't have time to go through this now. Okay, and this is the guys at the IAS that in 1988 developed this construction. Is for us engineers, is not easy to read the paper. You really need some help from the math guys. But eventually you understand the paper and it's very easy to construct the paper, to construct the graphs. And this is a construction for Ramanujan graphs. Unfortunately, there are issues from a practical point of view for these constructions because it's only for some selected number of sensors and some selected values of the degrees because of the assumptions posed in the construction. But you can get, from a practical point of view, you can get around all those things. And here is a Ramanujan graph. This is just to tell you about two things. One is the software project, which is great to display graphs. And the other thing is that although the sensors are all here, this is just for graph display. Okay, the sensors can be anywhere, but somehow, if you play with the degrees of freedom of this this program, you can give whatever shape you want to your graph. And this is the one that came out. Okay, so it's not meaning that the sensors are actually around the circle. Okay. Okay. So this is some comparison, and we compare these Ramanujans with three types of graphs. I'm not going to go through all these because I want to give a few words about the other class of problems. I'll just show the relation, the convergence speed of this one over this one. This one is the regular structure. And what's important here is to see this is the number of nodes in our network. So we were able to simulate this up to 2200. here is the how faster the Ramanujans are over the regular structure, and you see that it goes three orders of magnitude. Okay, so you can do faster three orders of magnitude, picking the right structure. And just for another comparison here with small world networks, and I won't tell you anything about that, about what they are. The only thing is that you can still get some not as dramatic as before, because these are already very good compared to the regular structures, but you can still improve significantly over other random. The Watt-Strogatz are random structures. Let me move on to the non-random topology when you have noisy communication channels. And the only thing I want to say is, okay, so now we add a noise there, and this makes this now random. And the only important thing I want to focus here is that you can still show convergence in the sense that the variance does go to zero. When this is the case, you cannot show convergence. This doesn't actually not converge. What you can do is you can show that there is an optimal number of iterations. Okay, there is an optimal number of iterations. And the reason is that the variance of this state has two terms. This is this term here is when there is no noise, and then you have another term. This is like the variance of the strongest variance of this noise components here. But the important point is that there is this linear term here. And so what this means is that the variance first goes down, but then eventually has a linear trend, and so there will be an optimal number of iterations for your for which you should run your consensus. So let me go now to the random topology case, and in this case, actually, it's without this thing should not be there. It's noiseless communication. So the point now is that links here may fail at random. Okay, and they fail. The model seems to be similar to what Lin just explained. You flip a coin with a certain probability, okay? So at each iteration I, you have a non-zero probability that one of these links may fail, okay? And so the issue is, can you still say anything about the statistics what are good L's, or what will be good L's eventually? And what you can say, our conditions are different from what Lin showed in his slides. What we do is essentially we come up to conditions now on the mean of the lambda 2 of L, of the second eigenvalue of L. But this is hard to compute, so we can also relate this to the lambda 2 of the average L. And in essence, what this condition says is that what you want is probability distributions such that the average network, the average graph, is connected. Okay, so on average, the graph needs to be connected, and that's what comes out from the analysis. And that's what I'll say about this problem. And the other problem is that what you want really is and now the in terms of optimizing for the structures, what you want is probability distributions such that this L bar, such that the L bars that come out have a lambda 2 that is large, okay? And through some simulations, that's what this shows here, is that if the lambda 2, if the distribution of the L's that leads to a certain average L has a lambda 2 that is large, you get much faster convergence. Okay, this is the convergence speed, you get much higher convergence. And finally, the last problem is when you have communication costs, the model is similar to what Lin just presented. So you have, our model is like this, you have a communication cost, and this is like an average network communication cost, and we still want to design the L that now remember this has random links. So basically what we are saying is now I have a non-zero cost of communicating between sensors. It could be infinite, which means you can never communicate with that sensor, and you also have a certain probability of failure. Okay, and the design problem here is actually designing the probability of errors that you associate with the different links. And you can show that this turns out to be a convex optimization problem, and so you can solve this by STP techniques. And I don't have results because they are running as we speak in the computer. And so in terms of conclusions, topology design focusing on the adjacency matrix, not so much on the weights. We use the results of others in terms of the weights. It's captured by in terms of spectrograph theory. So it's a problem where you essentially reduce the design of the topology in terms of spectral parameters. We went through a bunch of different classes of problems. The interesting one is that in the simpler one, you actually have a closed form solution, quote unquote. And for the other ones, for the noisy communication on random, it tells you that you should not run till infinity your consensus, because at some point the noise that you are bringing in through the communications makes things bad. And for the other ones, you start getting into, you don't have so nice solutions like here, but for example, in this case, you can still have a nice convex optimization problem to which you can apply standard techniques. So it's like going from the closed form kind of solution to the algorithmic kind of solution. Thank you.
Cases your variance goes down and then goes up. Do you have an intuition for why, what,
yeah,
why that happened and how it compares?
Yeah.
With
suppose there is no noise in the communication,
yeah,
then average consensus tells you that you are going to converge, so you are going down. But you are bringing noise through the communication, so it's the two effects, the average consensus algorithm that is trying to gain, and then the other noise coming in. Okay, so it's these two effects, and at some point it goes up. And you look for the need.
So we didn't see that effect in Lenz.
I don't know if he had noise in his communication.
He's
working with the weights. I'm working with the structure, you see. My problem is essentially a combinatorial problem, because I'm looking for where should I put zeros in this n square, okay. And by the way, one thing that I did not mention is that all these problems only are interesting if you are working with sparse graphs. Okay, so you don't want very dense graphs. Yeah.
So when you change the structure by putting in zeros, can you do it incrementally, or do you have to do all of them something? So
depending on the problem, okay. If it's the simplest problem, no noise, no failure. You have the graphs. The graphs are given to you. Okay. The only thing you need is to spend 3 months reading the spec, and then you learn all about group theory, and then it's very easy. Okay. For the other cases, it's essentially jumping to the last problem. It's essentially looking for a probability distribution is solving an SDP, a convex optimization. So you apply techniques. Okay. And in between, you do it right. Okay. Yep.
Maybe I missed it, but did you guys study like non-random topology with communication cost?
I'm sorry?
Non-random topology with the communication cost?
No. Well, when we considered, we jumped immediately, because we gave this talk several times and people kept telling us that's unrealistic. You have to have the communication cost, you have to have the random failure. So once we figure how to do it with clinical data.